Hello and welcome to another edition of Listing Bits. Today I am recording live from Washington, D.C. at the NAR mid-year meetings. I think they changed the name of that some time ago. It's like party or something. I don't remember. It's always mid-year to me. So
it's always a party.
And as you just heard with me today is FBS CEO Michael Werger. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Greg. How are you doing?
Thanks, dude. Doing good. So big freaking week for MLS, right? I mean, big freaking week. We just heard on, and I think this was exclusive at CMLS's Bring It to the Table event on Tuesday, Alex Lang and was it Dan Elsa?
Yeah, I believe so.
Announced a pivot that Upstream was making. And we're going to kind of get into that later on because it's kind of remarkable news to everybody. But for the listeners, I just want to kind of do a timeline or recap of how we got to here. As many of you know, back in May of 2015, at this same kind of conference, NAR approved funding of $12 million for RPR to kind of do a joint project of Upstream and AMP, their advanced multiple list platform, their back end, right? And that was like, you know, basically on the heels of CMLS's, you got 10 days announcement about brokers wanting to control data or they were tired of all the MLS, you know, how many MLSs there were and whatnot. And then a year later, they announced Alex Lang was named CEO of Upstream, right? So the kind of players here, Upstream is the kind of entity that was put together by the brokers and franchisors. RPR basically is the vendor for the technology. And NAR is, I guess, funding the damn thing, the bank, right? And those things, right? Alex came from, I mean, he was co-founder of Roost. He was also CTO at Market Leader. He spent some time at Second Century Ventures at NAR, their kind of VC wing, and kind of took the reins right away, right? I mean, it was he was very enthusiastic about the position and started to hit the circuit, so to speak. One thing that, you know, he started going off with was this concept that Upstream was like the Google Drive. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then in November of 16 at the Orlando show, they did a video demo of some third-party integrations with like Imprev and some others showing that kind of thing. But the messaging has kind of changed over time, right? It used to be about like, really, there's too many MLSs. We want to control the data of where it goes to. The MLSs are not doing a good job. They're sending it to Zillow or whoever else without our permission. Then it became, well, we have data too. We want to blend that data. Then it was like security, right? Cyber threats. That's why they needed this thing. It just kind of, I think the messaging kind of evolved over time. They're supposed to have like 5 pilot markets and about 16 brokerages that were part of the whole thing, right? But I was at some other things. You know, I remember being at a HAR event and I think, you know, Alex Perillo was still president then. Talk about, they were kind of skeptical about Upstream. So big franchisors were still kind of skeptical. And I think most of the MLS industry, especially vendors like yourself, knew, and I've been talking about this for a while, where I don't think they could have picked any more difficult part of the MLS tech stack than listing input, right?
Yeah, it's challenging for sure.
It's way challenging, right? So that's now brings us, you know, to today in a sense, right? I mean, these guys have been trying to do things. I think we had heard that they're going to do a live demo here at the show. The pilot market they were doing it was RMLS, which is in Portland. And those guys are kind of a proprietary system, right? So it's not one of the bigger 3 or 4 or whatever big MLS vendors that are out there now. And I think they successfully did that or whatever you want to kind of constitute success. But that brings us now to the CMLS event. You attended that, right?
Yeah.
I was on a plane when it was all going on.
Yeah. No, it's a good event.
Yeah. So kind of coup for CMLS to kind of get this and kind of ballsy for those guys to actually announce this in front of all the MLS people, as far as Alex and Dan, I think. This pivot, right?
Right.
But why don't you describe, you were there. I mean, what took place there? What did you guys know ahead of time there was going to be some sort of announcement or what?
We did know, or I knew that there was going to be an announcement from them. I didn't know what it was going to be, of course. Yeah. I think it's maybe just because I'm on the board of CMLS. So I had gotten a heads up that they were going to announce something. And then we had lunch and they did it over our lunch break because the sessions were actually already filled in with other content.
This is something they added.
Last minute, like came in at the last minute. And CMLS has been working with the NAR, you know, to be a little bit more collaborative between CMLS right. and the NAR. And so they wanted to give them that opportunity to do that presentation, and they did.
So it was who actually made it? Was it Alex or Dan that made the announcement?
It was Alex, yeah. I've actually never met Dan before.
Okay.
But yeah. So yeah, it was Alex and Upstream is...
I mean, what did they announce? I mean, what was the gist of what they announced?
Well, basically that they were listening to... They had created this board of... I don't know if it... I think it's called a board of advisors or something. But it's basically MLS people, like Sam Scott from Houston is on this group and a couple of others.
David Howe, I think.
Yeah. I'm not sure of all the people, but basically it's a very experienced MLS people. And the feedback that they were getting is, hey, we really... It would be great if a listing could be edited, not just in the Upstream, but also in the MLS, and that the two systems would end up syncing with each other. I think that was the basic feedback that they got from that MLS group, that there's a lot of challenges if you move the whole listing entry out of the MLS, that makes it more challenging.
But I mean, that's, you know, that was, I had heard something about a January call of that advisor that they had with Alex and stuff, the MLS advisors they'd had with those guys. But that hasn't been like new feedback. I mean, I think everybody's been saying that since the damn thing launched, right?
You know, I'm not involved in those conversations in detail, but let's put it this way. They heard it. And that was kind of the announcement is, hey, we're listening. And so what we're announcing here is that we're going to process feeds from MLSs on behalf of the brokers who want to participate in Upstream. So you can, if you're a broker and you're happy entering your listings into a particular MLS and you want to move that data into Upstream, you can do that.
Okay, so time out. So that is like exactly the opposite of what Upstream, I mean, the name, their name, their company name is Upstream. The whole premise for that company, of that initiative, of project, whatever you want to call it, was not that, to stop that, to take the data first Upstream and then distribute it. So this isn't, I mean... I guess they call it a pivot. I mean, this is a huge pivot, right? I mean, what do they have now? And I mean, here's the thing. I agree with what they're doing. They should have never done this anyway. But what is Upstream now? I don't even know if they should call it Upstream anymore. Whatever it is, what is it now? It's holding a, I don't even know what it is. What is it? A dashboard?
You know, if you think about the problems they were trying to solve, I mean, there are multiple problems. And so I think it'll be different for different people in different markets, right? Like they wanted to solve the ability to enter a listing once and put it into more than one MLS. So they're still going to go after that piece. And that's not sticking with the old model. That's definitely something they're going to try and change. But I think what they're realizing is, yeah, 2 years later, that's a hard nut to crack. And working with all the MLSs and all these business rules, that's a big deal. But that's a real problem for brokers. They do need to solve that. You know, there are other companies that are working on solving that problem too. So that's a real pain point that they're going to do. Now, the ability for another broker to say, hey, I have a bunch of agents that are happy entering the listings into an MLS, but I still want this centralized place to manage the brokerage listings, right? And integrate with a variety of third-party products like they demoed in Orlando, et cetera. That's another problem that still is going to be solved by Upstream. So, I mean, there's value there. I think that, you know, the challenge is just really moving this at a fast enough pace. And I think that they've seen that it's taking a long time. And so they're trying to get the calendar moved up a little bit by working with MLSs in a more traditional manner.
But those things are, I mean, described in like, I think there's the article in Realtor Magazine was about if brokers that want to enhance their listings with other things. I mean, these exist on franchisor platforms. RE/MAX already has those types of functions and features on their platform, right? Realogy.
Right.
They've been doing this for a long time, right? With their, I forget what the name of it is, but I mean, you know, they've been keeping their listings and enhancing those and everything else. So this is something I think that all the franchisors have anyway.
Yeah. You know, I think that'll be the most interesting thing is to see what kind of market there is for this product. I mean, they certainly have the buy-in, if you will, from big brands, from, you know, Keller Williams and I think RE/MAX has voiced support for this, others. And so it'll be interesting to see as they get to a product that is actually in the market, how many brokers really buy in. It may turn out that, yeah, they already have this stuff somewhere else. And so they don't get a big actual people using it. I don't know. I mean, I think that's what they're trying to get to is a point where they can say, hey, yeah, here's something and we have something for you to use now. and they're trying to get there faster than they were.
I just don't think that they're even clear on what really that is, right? I mean, if they don't define that very quickly, I mean, you know, what they say, it's like you can roll a lot faster, but if, you know, if you're rolling in the wrong direction, it's just you're getting faster the place faster, right? I mean, but here's the other thing. So to me was, I also heard there was a little bit of like a kind of a blame game going on there, right? That you got kind of a little, your feathers ruffled a bit because they had said that one of the reasons why they couldn't do this was vendors just like you that were not cooperative. I mean, so what's up with that?
Yeah, it was funny. I have this watch that tracks my heart rate. And I had this screenshot of it. I'll maybe tweet it out later. But it like shot up to 120.
So what exactly did Alex say? It was Alex, I guess, right?
Yeah, he basically just said that they were delayed because of vendors.
Wow.
That the vendors were uncooperative. And I know that's not been the case with FBS for sure. We've been ready, willing, and able to work with them whenever necessary. It just hasn't come to pass because they haven't gotten to our beta markets yet. They're starting to work with Arizona Regional MLS a little bit, but I mean, there's just never been a big need for us to engage.
You spoke out though, right?
But I called them out because it just doesn't, first of all, well, I just said it's not true, right? It's not true. The delays are not the cause of vendors. And I specifically said, hey, I know that's not true for us, but I don't think it's true for anybody. And he then went on to try to clarify that it was CoreLogic. And I was like, no, I don't even believe that. You know, it doesn't. And most importantly, it's kind just not leadership.
It's kind of a bullshit move. I mean, to throw under the bus on that.
At the end of the day, doing this project is a cooperative venture. And if there are delays, everybody's responsible for that. It's not one party or another.
Yeah.
Your job is to make this thing work. And if it's not, everybody needs to take responsibility for that. And it's just not a good way to lead.
I think these guys have been, I've talked about this before, just antagonistic from the beginning, right? I mean, just the way that they've approached the industry. I mean, you read some of those older Facebook posts about, you know, who they are. I mean, the self-righteousness and really the condescending manner that they've spoken to everybody about what they're trying to do. I mean, if you're leading that effort, I mean, you want to foster collaboration, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's some other guys there. Alon, I think, has tried
awesome.
To kind of,
yeah,
awesome guy, awesome, tried to kind of like smooth the waters and help everybody work together. But early on, and even not even so much earlier, even later, it just seemed like these guys were the hubris of this is just, I mean, Matt Cohen had a great article where I think the title was Upstream Returns to Earth, right? And the quote I like, they tried to fly too high, too fast. I think it's a perfect analogy there. But, you know, blaming somebody else, that's just bush leagues right there, man.
Well, it's interesting when you talk about the earlier statements that were coming out of the organization about MLSs and sort of like, yeah, the MLS is the problem. Now it's the vendor is the problem, MLS is the problem one way or another. And that's that whole messaging, that dynamic is something I was really happy to see CMLS address with their new campaign around MLS making the market work.
Totally. I've seen a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be really. I think it's
1,000-watt work on.
Yeah, it's a good campaign, and I think getting that message out and doing that is really, really important because over the last few years, I think the MLSs, both the MLS providers and the software vendors, have kind of become the whipping boy a little bit. And there's a lot of great stuff that MLSs do, and I think that's being recognized now. Like, this is hard work that MLSs are doing.
Absolutely.
And there's a ton of value that's being provided. And so countering that message, I think, and kind of getting the truth out there is what CMLS is doing with this campaign. And I just think it's really important so that the brokerages who kind of are at the start of these initiatives can hear that message a little bit and then work cooperatively with these organizations, which I think Upstream, that's the positive thing, is that they really are listening to the MLSs at this moment with this new group. They should be applauded for that. I don't know whether that was Alex or maybe Alon now being on that group or what. I don't know. It doesn't matter. That's a good move.
Right.
That's really smart. And I think that they will find willing participants from providers like our FBS and others who want to help solve the broker problems.
Yeah.
I think that's also an important thing to know. Whether somebody agrees with this entity or that entity, we're all focused on solving those broker problems. It's real. It's not an illusion that they're having these pain points. I mean,
no, I think that the promise or the idea, I think most people are like, okay, I get that. I get what you're trying to do, but there's different ways. I think the approach was problematic.
Yeah.
And then I think the way that they went about it was problematic. One of the other things I heard that happened is the illustrious Tim Dane had also spoken out at this meeting about
Tim Holtz. No, he says it like he feels.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, there was a rumor going around. I heard this at actually T3 that they had sent a team of developers to Portland and they camped out in the conference room to get, you know, something up and running for the demo. Right.
Yep.
And he wanted to confirm if that was the case, right? That this demo was really what was behind like having to have a team of developers go out there. And what was it?
Kurt.
It was Kurt.
Yeah. Kurt Von Wasm.
Yeah. CEO
of Portland. Yeah. Yeah. He got up and said just the facts of exactly, you know, what the demo was, what they were doing. You know, it was basically a proof of concept, right? It wasn't actually going into their MLS system and, you know, their live MLS system, but it was going into a proof of concept system. Yeah, RPR did have some developers go there to help with this. I don't know whether they were coding against their system or what. It doesn't really matter.
I mean,
you know, that's a cooperative thing. I didn't think that was that troubling.
I think famously, I know, you know, we're both software vendors, right? So I know a lot of times when we're demoing stuff, and this is like famous Apple story where they would always on the demos, they would have what they call the quote unquote, the golden path, right? So you had to like click here and then click here and then click here and click here, but don't click, you know. So I've been in times with situations where, you know, an early product that I want to really, I'm really excited about and want to show off. Yeah. And I'm like, Dan, I got to show this to these people. And they go, okay, I can, you know, if you go down this path, I can give you a good demo, right? So I think you're right. I don't really think that's as big a deal as Tim or somebody else might want to.
Yeah, I think the thing that caused confusion for people even after some of the hallway banter that I was hearing is that later at a different meeting that I wasn't at, they were talking about that this demo, that this was live. And I think that there's just different
interpretations
of what that means, right? I mean, when we use that term, we mean, hey, an agent could go do that right now.
Right.
And use it in a live manner and it would actually happen. And Kurt made clear that is not the case today. They have put this proof of concept up and they were demoing the proof of concept in a live way. I mean, it was actually happening in this proof of concept. But an agent today in Portland could not go and do this.
Right.
It's not live.
Right.
I mean, that's a big difference. And I think people were confused by that and that caused a little bit of uproar around that.
But, yeah.
You know, I mean, this is maybe a little bit, I had a session yesterday with Tehran from Bridge, which is now owned by Zillow, and then Mitch Skinner. We did a little panel kind of on this topic. And it, you know, at the heart of this is standards work. And the ability to enter a listing into an MLS from a third-party system is an objective of the standards bodies. RESO in this case, and the vendors that support it and the MLSs. And what's interesting is this technology is really evolving as we speak. Somebody used the phrase, hey, we're building the airplane as we're flying it. And I think that's exactly true. I think that's a good thing. We have a really incredible opportunity to build a very powerful system that uses the new web APIs to make this happen for brokers. And that work is going on right now. And sometimes I hear like stuff out in the hallways again where, oh, RESO's they'll take too long. It'll be years before they do anything. And what's disconcerting about that is I'm convinced it'll go exactly as fast as we all want it to. And everybody is part of that process. If there are MLSs or vendors out there that sit in the back and, you know, throw peanuts or whatever at the people in front doing the work, yeah, it'll take a lot longer. But if everybody kind of shoulders in and supports that effort, it'll go exactly as fast as we want it to. We are all this effort, and it really does require us all to work together. And I know that sort of sounds kumbaya-ish, but it's an incredible opportunity that we have. And we can't have people sort of throwing popcorn or peanuts from the back, you know. Real work is happening right now to solve these problems, and we have to support that work. all across the board, from MLSs to MLS providers to MLS technology people, brokerages, et cetera. Don't, you know, support the effort, get behind it, and we will move this thing fast. And that will help Upstream. That will help RPR. That will help Zillow, FBS, CoreLogic, the whole group. I mean, instant, lots of people want to do this stuff. You guys probably at some point will have some listing entry in your products. Why not? You could easily do that with these kind of standards. So it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, I think there's, I've definitely seen more momentum coming out of Rezo than ever before in the past couple of years. That's a great thing. And, you know, maybe that is going to help out. I mean, because the stuff that the release that on this pivot was a little bit weird, because they also seem to imply that they might still be trying to do some sort of listing input, which doesn't make any sense to me, because if they're going to say, if you can go to the MLS or then try to build this thing, I think nobody's ever going to try to build anything extra, because the MLS, I think, is the obvious place for this to happen. So that was a little weird there. It's just in an alternate universe for me with these guys, speaking of Rezo and some other things going on in the MLS industry. And to me, it's kind of started with Bright, really, MLS. Again, I would have played this so much more differently than what they played it, right? Because there is an argument to be made that since that CMLS meeting in Boise, where you got 10 days, right, that the industry has listened and has responded. They responded by the consolidation. NAR's got, you know, their initiatives to kind of close down some of the associations that weren't quite making the muster. Rezo's got some momentum. What about walking into that meeting, CMLS meeting? He says, you know what? We're here to say that we've won. We're declaring victory, right? That the MLS, we were very concerned about the MLS industry as being stagnant and too many of you and everything else. And we can see over the past couple of years that you guys are changing. You're listening. You're consolidating. The standard stuff is getting more up to par. We don't really feel that we need this technology solution, because now we think the relationship we have with you guys is in a much better place now. And let's, instead of working on these kind of harder issues, let's take that momentum we have here that you guys are doing with your consolidations efforts and everything else and bring it some other place, right? Instead of this pivot, blame game, you know, all that kind of stuff. I just don't know why they could not, you know, see that in a sense, I think they have accomplished a lot of what they wanted to do, right? But instead it becomes this convoluted.
Well, honestly, I mean, other than the fact that they threw vendors under the bus, which I vehemently disagree with, I think they did kind of say what you're doing. I mean, again, they are listening to MLSs and I think doing a good job with that. So I feel pretty good about that. And the problems aren't completely solved.
You're saying it's like it's not really a two-way street, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You think that maybe they were attacked, you know, both sides didn't really know each other much.
Right.
But through this whole process of the last couple of years, everybody's more aware of each other. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. And again, there remain problems. I mean, it's not like MLSs have solved all of it. You know, I mean, Bright is a great success story in that area in terms of consolidation, but consolidation isn't always the solution in every market. You know, talk to David Sharon. He's very clear about that. So you got to look at it market by market and see how it goes. So I think there are solutions to these things. You know, the beauty of competition is that it will evolve over time, and the market dynamics of that competition automatically do that. That's why you're seeing, you know, Zillow with their bridge products. That's putting pressure on RPR and Upstream, and that's good. That's what you want. But at the heart of it, a company like FBS, we sit in the middle, right? And we got to make all these entities work together. And that's really why standards are so unbelievably important, because I don't want to code this thing multiple times. I want to send a positive message that says, hey, there's a great opportunity to engineer some incredibly cool stuff that is going to deliver value for brokers, whether that's via Upstream or some other method. I think there is a great opportunity to do some of this stuff and change the dynamic even more than it has been. But I agree with you, the industry is moving in a very positive direction. And this is the time to put the foot on the gas and go faster. And I think we're totally capable of doing that.
Yeah, and you mentioned Zillow there. I mean, I got to wonder what's with those guys next, because in a sense, they bought Bridge to kind of combat this this notion of Upstream. But Upstream is basically saying the MLS is, and I think that's where Zillow really wanted to happen anyway. So I wonder of all the presentations they're doing about what they can do and everything else, I mean, where does that go? If they are still going to go down that path, or Are they going to pivot a sense of what they're doing there?
I doubt it. I mean, I would
think
be,
they're just going to be just what they want to accomplish. They're just going to keep going with regardless of what just happened.
Yeah, I don't know what they invested. I don't know what they paid for Bridge, but they paid something for them and they paid something for Retzley. And I think they've made, they've certainly put a lot of executives and salespeople on that effort to get that promoted to MLSs.
But I think part of that was
they're
just
going to keep pushing on it.
No, I don't know. I mean, to me, part of that thing is like, they wanted the MLS to – they wanted things to stay the same in a sense, right? So it could have been just a counter move to kind of cause some sort of – not a distraction, but like, you know.
So I think they'll keep going. That's my belief around that, because their reason for doing that is very clear. They don't want to repeat what happened with ListHub, right, where they were beholden to another company.
And, well, mission accomplished.
And so with Upstream, in that regard, they saw that as a potential threat. So they're like trying to counter it. Very logical, well-reasoned move. So I think they'll keep doing that because they want to make sure that they don't get beholden to
But this
to,
was the
to
biggest threat to that. And this threat is basically now out of the way.
Yeah. I mean, I assume that Upstream is still going to be moving forward. And yes, they're adding this option of sticking with the MLS entry and pulling the data in. But I, you know, again, we'll have to see how many brokers buy in with actual users and actual doing it. But I want to make, this is really interesting. I had a conversation with a guy yesterday who is a really good friend of mine and signed literally the first Flex MLS contract in 1999 on a napkin, tiny little MLS in South Dakota. And we were chatting yesterday. This is how confusing sometimes the industry can be. You know how Zillow, over the last, I don't know, month or something, they sent a message out to MLSs saying, hey, and to brokerages, we're not going to accept brokerage feeds anymore, right? You know, when they didn't have good relationships with MLSs, they would take listings from any broker. But the problem is brokers aren't good at updating those, whereas the MLS is good at updating. So they sent out this message that said, hey, we're only going to process feeds from MLSs now. You have to send your listings through the MLS if you want to get them on the
site.
Right,
right.
What these guys heard when they got that message was the MLS has to send a feed of all the listings or you can't go. Like, in other words, it was all or nothing. And I said, I can't imagine that's actually the message that they're sending. I'm sure they'll accept an opt-in feed or an opt-out feed, whatever. And it was like, no, they really believed that this was absolutely all or nothing. And I think, wow, people still don't understand syndication. Like, how can it be that after all these years? But that's the challenge with messaging in this
business.
My whole
goal is never talking about syndication on this podcast. You just blown right out of the
water. I've blown
it.
But I mean, I just education. And it's not because, I mean, this guy is super smart and super successful. It's not that. I mean, there really is a lot of messaging and communication and education challenges. And sometimes people take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Of course, Zillow wants people to think that you got to give them all the listings. They want all the listings.
Oh, totally.
But
well, Sam DeBoard up in Northwest MLS area, he had talked about the messaging that was going out for Northwest MLS because they got their own things. And it's the same kind of thing. It's like, that isn't the only option. There are several options for them to get it on there still, but that's not the message they're sending out.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah. And that's happened around this whole Upstream effort and other things. People hear lots of fuzzy kinds of concepts and dreamy things. And sometimes it's awesome to dream, but sometimes you got to be really clear. And I think a lot of the problems about the messaging has been that there's not been a lot of clarity.
Yeah. Here's another thing. So as we talked about 2 years ago, they had NAR give $12 million in funding for, it was Upstream, right? And the AMP initiative, right? So they were both kind of in that same funding thing.
Right.
What do you think this kind of pivot for Upstream means for AMP?
I don't know. You know, and honestly, I've never been good at the politics side of it. The NAR, so like, I'm not super familiar with all that stuff, but somebody said something to me that kind of rang a bell, is that what they have today is a listing input that enters listings into exactly one MLS, and it's AMP, right? So there is a listing input that Upstream has completed, and it will enter a listing into AMP. And so they have that. That's nice.
Yeah, it's an API. Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's a lot of money. I know we didn't invest that kind of money to build our MLS system.
And what I could do with $12 million.
Right? Man. I mean, Jesus. Yeah, it's a little, it's a kind of crazy when you think of the total expenditure around that product line.
I talked to those guys at RPR that are, you know, 4-amp, and you know, that for them it's business as usual, is what they're saying. That's the message coming from them.
Right.
But I, you know, again, I guess some time ago they'd put up some division of church and state between the Upstream project and the Amp project.
Yeah, I've never really. They're obviously joined in the tech stack since it's RPR. So I mean, I realize that from a governance perspective, they're completely separate, but the technology is very much the same.
Yeah. So okay. So what's next, man? I mean, what do you think? What's next for all this? I mean, I don't want to say fallout, but I mean, what do you think? You know, again, I think your messaging is like lean into standards, right? But I mean, what else are we going to like talk about with the?
Hey, I think that the next year is going to be awesome with lots of innovations around all the work that's been going on. I mean, it's going to be really, really powerful to see that come to fruition. And I think vendors like yourselves, others starting to use web APIs that are standardized are going to start to see some of that. So I think it's going to be a great coming 12, 24 months. And part of that is going to be entering a listing once, man. That's going to be an awesome solve for a lot of brokerages that have that pain point and improving some of the quality of the data. You know, we see it all the time where people enter listings more than once into different MLSs, and now there's more than one price for the same property. I mean, that's a crazy situation that's got to end. And I think we're working hard on that. And I know that there are other vendors, too, that are working hard on that. So it's going to, whether it's AMP, Upstream, Spark, FlexMLS, whatever, it doesn't matter. There are going to be lots of cool solutions that are coming. And that's the beauty of the competition, I think. A message for all the MLS execs out there and people that go, what about AMP? What about Upstream? Look, these are just other products in the market. It's not some revolution. I think I said that on the last podcast. It's going to be cool. Whatever they come up with, it's probably going to be interesting, but it's one other option that's out there. Weigh it against the other options. Once it's actually in the market and able to be delivered to somebody, let's see what it does. You know, that's what competition is all about. But the idea that it's going to completely change the MLS industry, that's not real. Yeah. That's the fuzzy thinking and fuzzy words that get people all concerned and hyped up. Oh my gosh, you know, what's going to happen to the MLS industry? Pretty much exactly what they put it into the marketplace. That's what it's going to be. And until something is in the marketplace, we all have no idea what it's going to do. So I look forward to them getting a product out there. Maybe I'll ask you a question. I mean, you've been talked about as one of the front end pieces possibly for AMP. Are you guys doing anything with that?
No, I mean, we've done, you know, they've been really, I think they made a little bit of a shift, I think, back in January of doing some of the APIs the way they were doing the APIs. So we haven't really, we still have a working feed that we demoed with Cloud CMA. We haven't done anything with MLX yet. They had some meetings at the show this week.
Okay.
We couldn't make all of them, but we went down for one of them where they were demoing to some people. We basically gave kind of a similar presentation we did the last time they asked us to, just a small suite they had. And some other people were there. I think Carlos was there, Rob from Robotic, Spring.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, Matt.
Matt, yeah.
Good guy, yeah.
And they're all showing their kind of different things. And we showed MLX and we've made a lot of improvements or things on there because it's a working product out there.
Right.
And, you know, we get feedback on that stuff. But I mean, there's supposed to be some other new API stuff coming out soon. And then maybe we'll kind of take a look at that. I mean, I don't know for sure what's going to happen, but, I know all the stuff is difficult, so I can't look at that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Anyway, thank you very much. I guess the struggle is real,
right? Right.
Thanks, Michael. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Take it easy.
Bye.